Welcome to Momsters. I am Laurie Moore, and my co-host, Carmi Gugliotti, is home. Carmi, oh my God, that's not her name. Well, you know how it is when you're Italian? We never use somebody's married name.
Hello.
I'm Carmi.
I'm Laurie.
Welcome to Momsters.
So, Carmi Sessler is home with her new infants. Oh my gosh, her sweetheart, our sweetheart, Lily, who was born last week. And she made an awesome appearance and on one of the most bizarre days in my life. So it was pretty exciting. And she was a two-push baby. So that means that it only took two pushes and she was born. So hooray for Carmi and hooray for Lily. And I cannot wait to meet my great niece. So we're super psyched about that. She was the best Thanksgiving gift we could receive. And everybody's healthy, and that's all you could ask for. So I'm going to do the episode of Momsters all on my own. You're going to have to listen to just me. This was a really interesting holiday. The first time I ever cooked a turkey was on Thanksgiving of 2020 during the pandemic. Usually we go to my mother's house and my mother just makes everything. So she'll make, you know, all the sides, two turkeys, stuffing, everything that, you know, you need to bring home with you for leftovers and then some, and, you know, a plethora of desserts. And the first time I ever did that was during the pandemic because, of course, there was no social gathering and we wanted to make sure everybody was safe. So I made my first turkey and it came out fantastic. So I was really proud of myself. So I thought, okay, one and done. Until my daughter informed me that she was doing Friendsgiving at our house. So Friendsgiving is when you invite your friends over and have a Thanksgiving meal. And I then had to make another turkey. So instead of buying one turkey, I purchased two because we would then have leftovers of leftovers. So I did it again, two turkeys. So now I have three turkeys under my belt. And I think I found it. So I got all the tricks down. I used the bag, followed the directions. And my turkey was pretty awesome. So turkeys were pretty awesome. We'll be eating turkey into next week, but that's okay. They're fresh. And they were delicious and flavorful and not dry. So nobody was going to choke on them. Didn't need extra gravy. I was very proud of myself. So my daughter had all her friends over for Friendsgiving. And it was just so sweet because they all brought something, some kind of side. It was awesome. I was just so impressed, you know, high school students. I'm sure their parents, assisted in the cooking, but they were really pretty. It was good. It was a good night. It was a loud night. They were all, you know, making lots of noise, but I guess that's what you're supposed to do. Hey, you know what? I look at it this way. They're teenagers. If they're making noise, they're not getting in trouble. So that's the best thing you could hear. When I was growing up, Thanksgiving tradition was that we would go to my great-grandmother's house. Now, my great-grandmother did not speak English. She spoke Sicilian. And her husband, my great-grandfather, he spoke three languages. Well, I guess at the time you could say four. He spoke English, Sicilian, Italian, and French. And how he even learned French, I don't even know. But so we would go to their house for Thanksgiving, and my uncles would come and visit from Buffalo with their families, and we would all eat in the living room because the kitchen was too small, and they'd put up these long folding tables, and I don't remember ever eating turkey. So we would have soup and lasagna and salad and all the things that you make when you have lasagna, you know, the meatballs and the pork and all that extra stuff. And then I think we used to have, I don't even know what they were, some kind of small bird, like not quail. Maybe that's what, I don't know, she used to make. So there are no turkeys in Sicily. And that was an American thing. So we really, you know, we were never, nobody ever left hungry because you always had all of these, you know, Italian foods that you could eat for Thanksgiving. And of course, again, a plethora of desserts. So we're not the kind of family who eats turkey all year round. Like some people eat turkey for multiple holidays. They'll have it for either Easter or Christmas or, you know, and we don't. We just eat turkey on Thanksgiving. So I guess for making it once a year, I'm doing okay. I was always concerned with my children because not living near any family is, I always worried that they were going to be, you know, I always felt guilty that they wouldn't have tradition, but I guess you just make your own. And we've done pretty well with that. You know, my husband always used to tell me that just make sure that you love them. And of course, we just make sure that they're loved. And even though, you know, we don't have great aunts and great uncles to go and visit like I did when I was a kid, they still have some pretty great memories, making some pretty great memories. So, speaking of making memories. So this has been like kind of an insane time of my life because I have not had a job since April and been looking for a job. And they say we're in a white collar recession, which just means they don't want to hire anybody with experience. And it's cheaper to hire somebody else. So, I'm still looking for a job and we were debating whether or not we were going to get a Christmas tree this year. We do not own a Christmas tree. We usually get a real tree, a live tree. And my husband and my daughter will go and cut it down. And it just so happened because Thanksgiving fell so late this year. And my husband had picked up an extra job to work for the holiday, you know, over Thanksgiving weekend that we just didn't get a tree. And I think we were all feeling really guilty about it. And I remember one year, my family, when we were growing up, we didn't have a Christmas tree, based on things that were happening in the family, not financial reasons, but, and it was like so depressing. So I was worried because, you know, my daughter's a senior this year. What kind of mom am I not having a Christmas tree on, you know, for the holidays? So my son and I, we went online and we bought a tree on Amazon for like $70, right? A light up tree. Actually, it probably cost as much as the real tree would be. And the lights are already on it. And it comes with like 9 different phases of lights. You could use the twinkle lights and the colored lights and the white lights and whatever it is. So the tree arrived today and we'll have to put it together maybe tomorrow or Friday and see how it is. My fingers are crossed. But I guess a tree is better than no tree. And even if the tree is like really poor, we still have it for next year, unlike the real tree. So it was somewhat of an investment. So yeah, a tradition for Christmas this year, it's going to be, we're going to keep what we usually do. We usually make my husband's grandfather's cookies. They're like phenomenal cookies. They're almost like a cake and they're flavored with orange zest and they're just like utterly delicious. But they really are a cake. Like they rise. It's not like a cutout cookie, even though you use cutouts to make them. So we are going to do those and we'll probably go out for dinner. We usually go to Hibachi on Christmas Eve. So we'll probably still do that, but it just might not be the Christmas like the rest of them. So, but it will keep with tradition. I'll make my French toast breakfast. And that's the one thing I think you worry about most when you have kids is you want to give them good memories and you want to give them happy memories. And I know memories don't always necessarily come with how much money you earn or what you have or finances. And that's why I'm really hoping that this year our traditions are what is going to make the holidays most memorable. You know, growing up, the things I remember most about the holidays never had to do with what I was gifted. I don't even remember some of the gifts I got. I don't remember basically any of the gifts I received growing up. I think the best part of growing up were the craziness of our family and our family traditions and how we got together and, you know, how we would spend like 12 hours on Christmas Day eating, you know, from like the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed, because everybody's house you went to, you had to have something. And those are the things that I remember that mean the most. And the, you know, the people you used to see and who you visited and all of that. It was just fun. We used to have a tradition at my grandmother's house on my father's side, my paternal grandmother, that when we were little, and I don't even know how this started, Santa would come to their house and visit us. And he would have a gift for us. And every year Santa came. And it was so exciting that Santa was there. And I remember one year I got a bike for Christmas, that Santa brought a bike. I only remember that because there's photos of it. If you ask me to remember it, I don't really remember it. But I do remember always the excitement and the anticipation of having Santa come and visit with us. And that was really the fun thing. And I remember all of the crazy foods my grandmother used to make. And when I say crazy foods, because she made things that they didn't usually eat during the year. So she one year made snails. And I remember my uncles and my father and my grandfather sitting at the kitchen table slurping the snails out of the shells. And they had like little toothpicks trying to eat them. I also remember her having tripe, I think, one year for Christmas, which that she made in like a spicy spaghetti sauce, sort of. It was like just phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal. And those were just the things I remember most about the holidays is really like the food. My Aunt Angie and I think it was my mother made spingy one year. They're like these little dough balls and you put honey on them. And I remember that. And we used to have cannoli. We didn't have cannoli every time of the year, but we always had it for Christmas. And we'd be frying the cannoli on the stove and in a big kettle of hot oil. And those are the things, the fun things I remember. The scents, the smells, the visits, the people coming, the special lunches and dinners, my father and my cousin Herky eating, I think they were sardines, anchovies. I don't know, smelts maybe. I don't know what they were, some kind of fish that they only had around the holidays. I don't know, maybe it was because of where we grew up and how we grew up. Everything centered around food. And that's what I remember most. So I don't remember exactly the gifts and the presents, but I remember who was present and the laughter and the fun we had. And I hope that I give my children those kind of memories, those great things to remember. A lot of pressure on parents at the holidays. I know that my kids would say Christmas is my least favorite time of year. I don't like Christmas. I don't like New Year's. You would think I would like New Year's because it's an ending And I do like endings, you know, the death of something, the birth of something new. But I'm not a fan of Christmas and New Year's. Now, one of the reasons could be that my birthday is in January, and this time of year falls 52 days before my birthday. So it's my belief that what I was taught is that every 52 days you're in a cycle. So the lowest part of your cycle is 52 days prior to your birthday. And then your birthday starts the beginning of a cycle. So 6 months from your birthday is the highest part of your cycle. So for me, I was born on January 31st. So July 31st, August 1st is the beginning of my cycle. And that's really when things are the strongest for me. Like I'm the most empowered. So I guess maybe because those two holidays fall like right before my birthday, it's just not my favorite time of year. That and all the pressure of making sure everything is as perfect as you could do it. I do feel bad for parents sometimes. It's just a lot of pressure. And I feel bad for kids too, because, you know, they go to school and discuss who got what. And of course, nothing's always equal and nothing's always fair. I don't know. I just think it's a lot of stress, and I'm not really sure what for. I try to teach my children and the people who surround me that Thanksgiving should be like every day. You be grateful every day. Be grateful for what you have. There are times where I just sit in my home and I thank the universe for all the things that are in my home. And not that I'm materialistic, but just grateful that I have a home and that we have vehicles and that the house is heated. All those things that you take for granted, I try not to take for granted. And I am grateful to the universe for them. I really think maybe that's what all of our holidays should be about, is remembering our ancestors and those people who came before us, and also being grateful for everything that we've had before us. Yeah. So I had this dream, and I don't drink, so I can't explain why I had the dream I had. You know, usually they say you eat something before you go to sleep, and that'll tell you what your dreams are about or what your dreams are like. But I had this dream. And in this dream, I was looking at a ring. And on the band, the inside of the ring, a gold ring, there were these dates. And the dates were March 2nd, 1965, and then a dash, February 3rd, 1973. Five, I can't remember the date now. Anyway, I have it written down. So I made a Facebook post, because that's what people my age do. And I asked, like, what could this mean? Because the dates were just, you know, they were kind of close together. So I didn't think it was a person's lifetime. And the response I got was just exactly what I needed. So one person in particular was explaining to me that these were the dates of the beginning and the end of the Vietnam War. And it got me thinking. I have letters that I received from my aunt before she passed. And the letters were written by her brother to her father while he was in Vietnam. And they must be about 6 months worth of letters, maybe a little longer. So I have a lot of them because they wrote quite often. And I spent one afternoon just reading the letters, because I thought, okay, the universe is giving me a sign. I got such specific dates in this dream. So I better figure out like what the universe is trying to say to me. So I'm reading all these letters and I took a break and it was just like overwhelming, like a snapshot in time. Like there were things that my grandfather and my uncle discussed that were, you couldn't discuss now about Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio and the Yankees and the World Series. And it was just so, so interesting. I explained to my son what had happened, you know, about the dream and the letters, and he was just mesmerized. So I sat with him for a night and we read the letters, you know. It was almost like gossip. And I had explained to him who the people in the letters were, because they would talk about the people in town, like not in a bad way, but my uncle saying, oh, how are they? Wish them well. Tell them I said hello. It was just, it was so interesting. So I'm waiting because I'm still not sure 100% what the message is. But I do know one thing: as a parent, it's been a great memory for me. It's just a great period of time. It's just something that I hope I never forget, is my son and I going through these letters. These are things that when you're a parent, they're special to you. But it even makes it more special when you could share it with your children and you could teach them about your family and what it was like when they were younger, much younger. I mean, my grandfather was alive. I was only a few months old when all of this was happening. It was just so, so interesting. And I really think a good history lesson. I don't know. Sometimes it's not how much you gift your kids. It's not even how much maybe money you make. I don't even know if they care. But it's what you do with your time when you're with your children. I think if you're going to spend anything, spending your time with them is your best investment ever. So moms, remember that. When it's Christmas and or Hanukkah or whatever you're doing, take the time to spend it with your kids. Don't worry about making everything perfect, because life isn't perfect. And the one thing they will remember is not what you bought for them, but the emotions that you shared with them. Maybe that was one of the lessons that I received from those letters. Maybe that was the reason why they wanted me to read them, was to be able to share those emotions, the anticipation of my uncle coming back, coming home, his support of my grandfather, even though they were thousands of miles apart. It was the emotion of it, the love. You could feel the love from the letters. And I hope more than anything, that is something that I share with my children. And that I could now share with my new great niece, our little Lily. Well, this is my episode of Momsters. And thanks for tuning in. I don't know what'll happen next time. Maybe Carmi will be able to join me, but right now she's bonding with her newborn. And again, time well spent.